Well, first of all, I want to just thank you so much for being here. It's been such an awesome day so far. And my question is whether that can sometimes, the other side might be that the mind becomes punitive or punishing toward, you know, like, or that the practices can be used that way.
Yep, absolutely. We're having a human mind. It's amazing how perverse it can be sometimes. Which is, you sort of say, you know, you don't need to, you know, beat yourself up over things. But we do it. You don't need to push all the time, you know, but we do it. And, feel, and then we're, you know, that sort of, and one of the, I think particularly as Westerners, Americans in particular, very strong kind of ethic of guilt. And being, you know, feeling, being tortured by being, you know, guilty, being feeling guilty about this kind of quality of guilt. I remember one time traveling as a translator for a senior Thai monk who, I was his attendant and translator, and there was a evening chanting, meditation, Dhamma talk, questions and answers after, and one of the questions was, how do you deal with guilt in practice? And so then I went to translate the question, and I burst out laughing because I didn't actually know the word for guilt in Thai. And then I, what I had to do was explain to the Thai monk what a Westerner does to make themselves feel guilty. Which just in itself was a, you know, sort of an exercise of in absurdity, and then he listened, was listening to me explain, and he's got this very concerned look on his face. He said, "Oh, just tell them not to do that. That's suffering, you know." So being able to act, you know, really sort of, oh yeah, we actually don't have to do that, and to be able to be clear, because we do, you know, there's different ways that we torture ourselves, and to be, and that's part of the practice again of just being able to see habits and conditioning, and as we see those tendencies more clearly, then we can be developing strategies for ameliorating or overcoming, or just being clear enough to say, oh, being able to really sort of see it clearly, even if it's, you know, still rattling along, just, oh, that's that tendency. That's that habit. Okay, just because you don't want to get in there and fight and struggle and with it, because it's, just that taking exception to it and trying to annihilate it feeds it in its own way. I can remember Ajahn Chah talking about dealing with old habits and unskillful tendencies of our of defilements and attachment. And he said, you know, he said, it's all you need to do is create a cage of mindfulness around it. And he said, that's all you need to do. And he said, it's just like if you've got a tiger, all you need to do is put a strong cage around it, and, you know, the tiger is going to be upset, it's going to be angry, it's going to roar, it's going to growl, it's going to beat at the bars of the cage, and all you have to do is make sure you don't open the door. And don't go in there. That's all you need to do. And he said, and you know, and that tiger it'll roar and it'll growl, and but then I get tired and it'll lie down, and I'll get tired and sort of come up again. And it'll roar and growl, but it'll start getting softer. And he said, you know, over time, if you just keep the cage closed and keep an eye on it. And he said, pretty soon it'll just, every once in a while, meow, meow. Yes. So that, just having that cage of mindfulness is our. Again, we don't have to ride in on our white horse and sort of duel with it. We just oh, that's what that is. All right, okay. I have to be cautious because you have to be careful as well. Yes.
So we'll bring the tiger down, and if we won't open it, it has no danger for us. Mm-hmm. But what about the situation that we just let it go?
Mm-hmm.
Why we should have a tiger in us? My confusion is over there.
Uh-huh.
Should we bring the tiger down and just still keep it inside, or should we just let it go?
Well, I mean, letting it go. Have you ever seen a tiger? I'd be careful. So that when you recognize it, greed or aversion, confusion, it has real consequences, and we have to be careful. We have to find strategies where, that we're not being bitten by it. Because it tends to be indiscriminate, so that sense of there's a healthy recognition of this is we're not fooling around here, that our own unskillful habits they have consequences, so one has to be very skillful and if there is a channeling of that, then it has to be really understood. It has to be well understood and well considered. Okay. Yes.
Sorry to keep staying with the tiger theme, but what about the case where one feels like one is the tiger and is trapped in a metaphorical cage? What would be your advice to escape that cage?
Right. just continuing with the metaphor, that sense of, because sometimes, and probably beginning with the original question of how we, because a lot of it is how we perceive ourselves, and the suffering that we create with those perceptions, and the mind, our own mind can be our own worst enemy, and that we see ourselves in ways that can be negative and can be create a lot of discomfort for ourselves. So that to be able to in terms of just sort of seeing and perceiving ourselves as a friend, and would we say or think things about ourselves that we would think about a good friend, so that we can learn to be good friends to ourselves, because there's so often somebody could say or do something, and you realize, well, it's that person, that's kind of how they're like. And if we did something similar to that, we'd beat ourselves up over it. And to be able to to switch that perception and be a good friend to yourself, and look on oneself as a friend.